Good morning. It's all over me. Good to be with you all. Today is the second message in our series, God's Lost and Found. And as I was thinking about this week, I remembered a story from when I was a kid. We moved across town. And when I say we moved across town, we moved like 4 minutes away because Creston's the size of this church. And it was, you know, a couple blocks down, a couple blocks over. It wasn't too far away. But our cat, he was an outside-inside cat. And he came and went as he pleased. And so when we moved into the new place, he went home. Disappeared. We assume he tried to get back to the old house. We don't know, but we looked everywhere, and he was nowhere to be found. And so we mourned the loss and all that, and month after month after month went by, and about 6 months later, I was walking towards the local restaurant in town, the only restaurant in town, and about 75 yards off, I saw this black cat, and I went, "That's him," like I had done 700 times before every time I saw a black cat. And so I called out to him, and if you don't call your cat like this, you're wrong. Psst, 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 psst. And he stopped, turned around, and sprinted. Picked him up. It was definitely him. 6 months. 6 months, and bam, he's back. The joy that we had, we praised, it was a great time. And I thought about that because Luke chapter 15 has three parables about things that are lost and found. And today's passage is the shortest of the three, and probably the least known of the three. Smack dab in between the story of the lost sheep and the story of the prodigal son is this three-verse parable about the lost coin. And what I want us to see today is this. It's the main point of this sermon and of this series. Our God is a seeking God, and he is seeking his people. And he rejoices when they are found. I want to read for you a verse that I would challenge you all to memorize. Pastor Mark shared it last week as well. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is why Jesus came. This is why he left the majestic joys of heaven. This is why he came and took on flesh. Why he humbled himself to become like us, to become man. This was his soul mission, to seek and to save the lost. All other religions in the world, apart from Christianity, what you'll find is man seeking after a God. But our God is not waiting for us to find him. He is seeking after us. Today's parable is closely related to last week's. And before we dive in, what I'd like to do is take just a couple minutes to review what Jesus said in the 10 verses prior to chapter 15. In chapter 14, the last 10 verses, he is speaking to his disciples about what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. And he hones in on it. And what he does is he gives them several principles. His main audience were his disciples. And he wants them and anybody who may want to become one of them to know what following Christ truly means. The first principle is that of loyalty. To be a disciple of Christ, they must be loyal to Christ above all of their other relationships. The next principle is that of cross-bearing. Disciples must be prepared to suffer. And then there's the principle of counting the cost. Following Jesus could cost everything that this world has offered, which included family, money, and earthly approval. Next, there's the principle of sacrifice. They must be willing to give up all worldly goods and possibly even their lives to follow Christ. The principle of being salt. They are to be an influence on the world, not be influenced by the world. And then lastly, he closes chapter 14 with this, and that is the principle of hearing. They are to do more than just hear Jesus' words. They are to implement these practices daily. And this principle of hearing occurs right, literally right before the one line before chapter 15 begins. Let's look at it. It's Luke chapter 14, the last line of verse 34. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then Luke opens up chapter 15 by telling us exactly who is listening. Look at verses 1 and 2 in chapter 15. He says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Last week, Pastor Mark told us who the tax collectors were and who the sinners were. But I'd like us to remember that, yes, there was tax collectors and sinners, but there was a third group listening. And that was the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus came to save the lost, and he is about to drive this point home with these three parables. You see, all of his listeners are lost. The Pharisees find Jesus at fault because he associates with the society's outcasts. Jesus says, "Listen, if you're not following me, you will be thrown away." He wants the Pharisees to see, he desperately wants them to see that they are lost. And that they preach the opposite of the gospel. According to the Pharisees, if the tax collectors and the sinners want to get to heaven, they got to clean themselves up. They got to make themselves respectable. They have to save themselves. Jesus' gospel says this: "Repent and believe in me, the Son of God who came to bring salvation to the people." Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. I will clean you up. I will save you." Let's go ahead and take a look at our passage for the day. Go ahead and take out your note sheets and your Bibles. And if you would turn to chapter 15, if you haven't already, let's look at chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Luke 15, verse 8. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today in desperate need of your Spirit to show us what you have for us today. We ask for your blessing now as we seek to learn and to believe what you have said. Show us your love and your joy in saving sinners. Lord, please bless the hearing of the word. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right. Point number one on your handout is the hunt. The hunt. So leading up to verse 8, Jesus tells the story of the lost sheep, as we heard last week. And I kind of think it's funny because he says to them, "Who among you, if you had 100 sheep, wouldn't leave the 99 to find the one lost sheep?" And I find it funny because Pharisees are listening. And they think shepherds are low class. They think that they're dirty. And they wouldn't be caught dead herding sheep. And then in today's parable, verse 8, he says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she lost one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it?" So he says, imagine you're a shepherd. And now he says, imagine you're a woman. And this is funny to me, because in those days, women were nowhere close to being seen as equals to men. So the Pharisees must have just been squirming at this point. But they were listening. He had their complete attention. And he says, what woman, if she lost one coin, wouldn't do what women do? They find things. Okay, for those of you who have kids, and those of you who are still kids, or those of you who used to be kids, picture with me this. Mom, I can't find my favorite toy. I've looked everywhere, it's gone. Insert mom eye roll here. We all know that kid spent 3 seconds looking. Mom, where did you look? Everywhere. Probably looked on their bed and gave up. So mom's on the way, and she's finding this in less than 10 seconds. Because it's what they do. And then there's husbands. I'm never more nervous than the 10 seconds it takes my wife to get to the fridge to find the ketchup that I just declared was not there. She opens up the door, and right where it wasn't, it now is. Women are masters at finding stuff, especially if it's valuable. They will turn the house upside down to find it. And that's what our woman in this passage does today. This coin was worth about a day's wage. And this helps our thinking, because if I hear a coin is missing, I am not spending an ounce of energy to find it. But if an entire day's wage is missing, all right, all my energy is now being spent. So she's on the hunt. Jesus says that she lights a lamp. And this is important to know. Houses in those days had really small windows, and those windows were high up on the wall towards the ceiling. So even in the middle of the day, there wouldn't have been a great deal of light. So she would have needed to light a lamp. And then it says that she swept the house. The floors in those days would have been made of rock with wide dirt cracks in between each rock. So there would have been a lot of dirt. So a coin could easily have been lost underneath the dirt. And so she sweeps. Jesus says that she searches diligently. She searches carefully until she finds it. So what is Jesus getting at here? He says, listen up, tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees. God searches for lost sinners the same way that a woman searches for lost money. With great care. Diligently. Point number two. The celebration. Look with me at verses 9 and 10. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. She found it. And it was such a big deal that she called together all of her friends and her neighbors to celebrate with her. Something so valuable was once lost and now found. And that is worthy of a great celebration. Not only that, but finding this coin brought her great joy, the text says. And so it's here that Jesus dives in to this comparison. Joy. Jesus says God and the angels experience great joy over one single sinner. Over one who repents. It doesn't say over one sinner who stopped sinning. It doesn't say over a sinner who got themselves cleaned up, or as they say, got right with the Lord. It doesn't say that. It says over one who repents. One who turned away from their life of sin that was leading them to death and destruction. And not just turning away from it, but turning away and turning to Jesus. Running to him. Going to the Savior who paid the ransom for their life of sin. Great joy in heaven every time a sinner repents. And this joy in heaven is great. So this leads us to our response. I want us to look at three ways today that we should respond to this. And the first one is this. If you're here today and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, this call of repentance is for you. Today you can turn to Jesus away from your sin. I beg of you to believe in him, to believe that he is who he says he is, the God of the universe. He is the Savior of the world. You just simply need to ask him for forgiveness and commit to follow him. And remember and believe that he took the cross for you, that he died for you, that he was buried for you, and that he rose from the grave forever, defeating eternal death for you. He calls you to himself. He loves you. And he wants to celebrate with the angels over your salvation. And I ask you that if this is you today and you make this decision, I ask that you would share it with somebody here. Because we want to celebrate with you. We want to rejoice with you. And we want to help you with your next steps as a believer in Christ. Also, if you're here today and you've been a believer for a long time, or even just a short time, I want to challenge you to study yourself. I want you to make sure that you're not living a life like the Pharisee, because it's real easy to do. I want you to check yourself and make sure that you're not expecting sinners to clean themselves up before you can be around them. Make sure you're not staying away from sinners because they are not who you want to be around. Maybe they're dirty. Maybe they annoy you. Maybe you just don't care for them. We need to repent of this tendency because there's a Pharisee in all of us. And this leads us to the second point of our response, and that is to seek. Our God is a God who is seeking the lost. And Christ, if Christ's likeness is the goal of the Christian, which it is, then to be like Christ, we need to have the same mission as Christ does. We need to be seeking the lost. We seek them, and then we share with them the incredibly great truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to lead them to God's word. We need to lead them to repentance. We need to lead them to the joy of heaven. And that joy is point number three. We need to rejoice. We need to rejoice in our salvation, our own salvation. We need to wake up every morning and remind ourselves that God saved us, that he sought us when we were lost, and he found us. We need to remind ourselves that God, in all of his love, pursued us. Amen, he found us. And we need to rejoice in such amazing grace. As the great song says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now am found. Was blind, but now I see." We all need to rejoice with others when a sinner repents, when the lost are found, We need to rejoice with them. When you lead someone into repentance to Christ, I would ask you to call your brothers and sisters here at New Creation and let them know so that we can all celebrate together and come around the new believer. In being like Christ, we should find great joy when one sinner repents. It is the joy of God that fills heaven. We as his children get to share in this heavenly joy. God is the source of joy. And being in his presence brings great joy. And one day we will all be together as believers surrounding the throne. And this joy will lead us to worship. It will lead us to worship the only one worthy of our praise. I want us to look at something in Revelation chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. It says this. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion. The second living creature like an ox. The third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." As I read that, I'm always taken back by just how frightening that must have been, to see something that we can't even really fathom. But I'm struck by the fact that these awesomely scary-sounding creatures never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Jesus is the one that's on the throne forever, it says. We will one day sing along with the creatures, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We will experience never-ending joy. The joy that we experience on earth comes and goes, but this joy never ceases. It will go on for eternity. And we will experience this together as the body of Christ. What a glorious day that will be. But until then, let us seek those that are lost. Let's seek them diligently. Let us share the gospel with them. And let us rejoice every time one of them becomes part of the family. Amen? Let's pray. Father, your love for us is so powerful and never ending. God, you are joy, and you are seeking your own. And we thank you for being a God who seeks after us. We thank you for your salvation, which was purchased by the precious blood of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Please lead us as we seek the lost, and we pray that through the hearing of your gospel that you will bring many sons and daughters into glory. Let us all rejoice together. May you be glorified in all that we do. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.